Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Berean Baptist Church on this lovely February 4th Sunday. We've got 1 month out of the year behind us, a new one ahead of us. And what a blessing to be able to gather together in the Lord's house to worship the Lord together. Amen. Glad that you're here. For those who are joining us on the live stream, we're happy for your presence as well. Trust this service will be an encouragement to each and every one who are here this morning. Carl's going to come and lead us in our first hymn at this time. Carl?
Servicing hymn number 63. Hymn number 63, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. If you can stand while we sing this.
Turning to the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, as we look into God's word this morning and read a very familiar passage. It rehearses for us not only the structure of the Lord's Supper, but the instructions as well. Begin reading at verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of this bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we're chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Let's pray together. Father, as we bow before you this morning, as we come into your holy presence, we thank you for that ready access that has been made available to every believer to come into your holy presence, to come before the throne of your grace, to know that there we'll find mercy and grace to help just when we need it. We thank you for that great, merciful high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, who ever lives to make intercession for us. We thank you that he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And we thank you, Father, that through the merits of his finished work on the cross, we can gather here this morning and sing praise to your holy name. We can worship you as you require us to, in spirit and in truth. And so, Lord, may that be true of everyone who's here this morning. For those, perhaps, who've never put their faith and trust in your Son, Jesus Christ, may they do so today. Because today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And so I pray, Lord, that they would make that decision. It would seal their eternal destiny for heaven by trusting in Jesus Christ. We look forward to the fulfillment of that blessed hope, which is the glorious appearing of our great God, even our Savior, Jesus Christ. We look for him to come soon. It may be today. May we be ready. Thank you for what you'll accomplish, Father, in our lives as we give them to you without reservation, without hesitation. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Next we'll be singing, "This Is My Father's World." It can be found in hymn number 116.
This is my Father's world.
Pages back to 108, my father planned it all.
What though the way be lonely and dark the shadows fall, I know it rare in the end, my father. Cannot be silent.
Right, the memory verse for this month is Revelation 3:20. We'll say the reference, the verse, and the reference again. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Revelation 3:20. The hymn of the month this month is, I worship you, Almighty God. And this one is not found in our hymnals. Going over to hymn number 353, Search Me, O God. Sticking around for the special music, or are they being dismissed? All right. Children 3 through 8 can be dismissed to junior church at this time. We'll have special music with Brenda Lundy and Jeanette Harrell.
Thank you, ladies. Turn with me again to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So once again, consider the weight of the Lord's Supper. Or what significance does it have in the life of the Christian community here at Berean Baptist Church? Two ordinances that the Lord Jesus Christ commanded to be observed by the local church. These are Baptist distinctives we talk about often. Baptism of the believer by immersion, which is very different from what a lot of churches practice, sprinkling or pouring and that kind of thing. We believe in immersion, dipping under. That word baptizo means to immerse, to submerge. Wonderful picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. The believer is identifying himself or herself with the Lord in doing so. And it's in obedience to his command that all believers should be baptized. We believe in baptism of the believer by immersion. Second ordinance that was given to the local church is the Lord's Supper. It's a family time around the table to once again partake of the bread which symbolizes his body, to partake of the fruit of the vine which symbolizes his blood that was shed for us. There's no means of grace that is conferred by doing so. That grace has already been received when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But it's picturing the grace that you have received, and you're remembering what Jesus Christ accomplished in your place there on that cross. 288 believers in England during the reign of Bloody Queen Mary were martyred. They were burned at the stake. Why? Because they had a conviction concerning what the Lord's Supper was all about. They emphatically denied that the physical body of Christ was really there in the form of the bread and the fruit of the vine. Rather, they held firm to their biblical conviction concerning the Lord's Supper. The bread and the cup were symbols of the body and blood of the Lord. And we can see by this historical reference, along with others that could be cited, that there was once a time when the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper carried meanings that were very important. They were weighty, worth dying for, and some thought on the other side, worth killing for. I think one of the happiest things about being a Bible believer, and I'm not ashamed to be called a Baptist either, it's good to remember that in these volatile days of controversy around the world, is that during the history of our existence, we have never been on the killing side of this transaction. We've been on the other side of it. Many have been martyred for their faith. And so we should humbly come to the Lord's table this morning to enjoy, yes, we enjoy freedom of religion in our country. No one is burned or beheaded for religious reasons, at least not yet. But we may have also lost the sense of the weight of the wonder of what Jesus Christ has given to us in these ordinances. I think it would be well for us to admit that if their age was marked by brutality, our age is marked by superficiality. They may have weighed things differently than we would, but it may be that we have lost the capacity to feel weighty truth at all. So how much does the Lord's Supper weigh on you? In other words, how important is it to observe it rightly and biblically? The historical setting here in 1 Corinthians 11, we read there the same night in which he was betrayed, when Jesus was betrayed, the Corinthian believers may not have known that here is a jewel against a filthy backdrop. The most beautiful and meaningful of Christian celebrations was instituted on the very night the Lord was betrayed, the night that he was arrested. And eventually, in the morning, tried, convicted, falsely, and crucified on a cross. So in the midst of the world's evil, God established his good. In the midst of Satan's wickedness, God plants his holiness. And in the midst of Satan's absolute worst, and sinful man's absolute worst, the condemnation of the Son of God on the cross, God accomplished his absolute best, which was the sacrifice for the redemption of the world through that cross and what Jesus accomplished. And those words there in verse 24, words of the Lord when he said, "This is broken for you." He made it personal. And I'm glad he did. That we can personally know that our sins are forgiven through that work of the cross. And so we see here the Lord's Supper. It's a proclamation of the gospel. And I want you to see that in verse 26. For it says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. This is my body, he said. And what is meant by that, this is the representation of my broken body. You proclaim, when you do so, when you partake of this, you proclaim my death for sinners until I come. And isn't that good news? Absolutely. It's the best news in the world. You can turn to any news channel on your TV or on your smartphone, and you're not going to find any better news than this. This is great news. The good news of the gospel. The bread and the cup proclaim his saving death and resurrection. And until he comes, implies that resurrection, that he indeed rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. And one day soon, it could be today, he could come again, take out of this world his church. And we'll be with him for all of eternity. So the observance of the Lord's Supper is every believer's responsibility. It's an act of disobedience to not partake or to be absent from this observance unless providentially hindered. And so we have something to proclaim. We have a great message to proclaim when we partake of this memorial service. The Lord's Supper is a proclamation of the gospel. Secondly, the Lord's Supper is a remembrance. And I mentioned that in verse 24 and 25. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And he repeats that for the fruit of the vine. Do this in remembrance of me. Remembrance of the Lord. And so let this representation of his body and his blood remind you of Jesus Christ. It's not just a mindless ritual that we go through, partaking of the bread and the fruit of the vine. It is to be a remembrance of him. The death of Christ is proclaimed. And by that proclamation, we're reminded of Christ. Jesus said, remember me. He sits in fellowship with us. Remember me being betrayed. Remember me knowing all about this. Remember me giving thanks to my Father who ordained it all, who planned it all. We sang that hymn, my Father planned it all. Remember me shedding my blood for you so that you might live because I died. Remember me suffering to obtain for you all the blessings of salvation. Remember me promising that I would drink this fruit of the vine new with you in the kingdom. And so Jesus is saying to us, let these memories of me in all of its fullness, the fullness of my love and power, flood your soul when you come to this table. Remember me. The Lord's Supper is a call to remember. It's also a call to love the people of God. People of Christ. And Paul here brings his teaching concerning the Lord's Supper in the context of supporting his rebuke because he is rebuking the people here at Corinth for their behavior. When they were coming together to celebrate the love feast and the Lord's Supper, they had some unloving actions here at their meals. He's dealing with the selfish behavior of these Christians when they come together to enjoy a meal. And read that in verses 17 through 22. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, he said, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. Well, Corinth was known for its strife and divisions and conflict within. And Paul rebukes them for this. He said, for there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone takes before others his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What? He said, have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. A very strong rebuke, an admonition concerning their behavior at these church meals. It's possible to love coming to church and at the same time despise the church, talking about the people within. We must not despise one another. We must love each other. And Paul was very upset about this. He's saying, eat at home before you come to the Lord's Supper if you're going to turn the feast of the church into gluttony and drunkenness and partiality. Were these Corinthian believers despising the church of God and humiliating the poor? According to what Paul has written, yes, they were. They were treating the church as something utterly beneath what it is. Think about it for a moment. The church is that which Jesus Christ gave himself for and died for. He loved the church and gave himself for it. The church is his body, the bride of Christ. And Paul says, you eat and drink as though you're the center of the universe and the gathered church were nothing. So the Lord's Supper is not a mere religious ritual. It's a call to love. It's an indictment of lovelessness. You despise the church. You shame the poor. Here in a few minutes, we're going to partake of the bread and the cup. And they will mean this. Christ died for the church. Christ died for every individual, rich and poor. And when you come to the Lord's Supper, you love the church and you will embrace everyone at the table, not just those of your own status, social status. You'll embrace even those who are poor. It's also a call not only to love the people of Christ, it's a call to self-examination. And we read then verses 27 and 28. It says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. With such a close connection between the meaning of the Lord's Supper and the heart of the believer who takes the Lord's Supper, it is a call to self-examination. And Paul returns to the moral issue of the church when he wrote those two verses, verses 27 and 28. Now, what does it mean to eat the Lord's Supper worthily? Well, I think it means this. It means to exalt in what the bread and the cup signify, which is the sacrifice of Christ, that he loved the church and gave himself for it. That's the mindset that you and I need to have when we partake. Any other mindset is going to be an unworthy mindset. And Paul writes and says, you're going to be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord because you have partaken. You partook of it unworthily, in an unworthy manner. We're not going to treat the church as something cheap. We're going to cherish the opportunities to fellowship with God's people around the Lord's table. And so, if this is in your life, if this perspective of the Lord's Supper, that it's a weighty observance of what Jesus Christ accomplished for us on the cross, then as a believer who has been obedient in baptism, you can come and partake of the Lord's table. There are no perfect saints here, right? No perfect saints. We're all debtors to grace. And forgiveness is our only hope of acceptance before a holy God. It is a weighty ordinance. A proclamation of the gospel. The good news. A remembrance of Jesus Christ. It's a call to love the people of God. It's a call to self-examination. And my friend, it is all of God's grace and mercy for those who believe in Jesus Christ. Amen? So all of his grace. And the question is this, what is your heart toward the church of Jesus Christ as we partake? When you remember Christ, you also remember the church for which he died. He gave himself for it. And it's a great blessing to be able to proclaim the good news through this observance, to demonstrate our love for the people of Christ, that we're going to remember Christ, and we're going to examine self. So we're going to take just a moment here at the closing of the message. Yes, it's been a short one, but it's about a weighty subject, the observance of the Lord's table. And so let me encourage you at this time, a time of quiet prayer and self-examination. Bow before the Lord. Bow with me, would you please? Take just a moment to do this self-examination. And then, believing that you can partake in a worthy manner because of Christ's righteousness, partake of the Lord's Supper as we present it. Heavenly Father, you have called us to be still and know that you are God. Teach us in the quiet moments the weight and significance of this ordinance that you have given to the local church to observe. And it's a call to remember your Son. It's a call to rejoice in what he accomplished for us. And it's a call to have an anticipation that he is coming again. And so may we come before your table this morning in a worthy manner to exalt the meaning that is displayed for us in the bread, pictures the body of your Son, and in the blood, the fruit of the vine, which pictures his shed blood, poured out on our behalf. It is, even as Peter said, that we've been redeemed with that precious blood. We've not been redeemed by the vain conversation received by tradition from our fathers, not with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So may we come, Father, displaying a great love for you, a great love for your people, and a great love for your word, that we would uphold it and obey it in every area of life. Help us to do so for your honor and glory. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Carl's going to come and lead us in a closing hymn at the end of that last verse. We'll ask our men to come as we partake and prepare for the Lord's table. Carl.
The hymn is 336, My Hope is in the Lord. If you'll stand with me as we sing.
My hope is in the Lord. himself for me and paid the price of all my sin at Calvary. For me he died, for me he lives, and everlasting life and light he freely gives. And now for me he stands before the Father's throne, and as his own. For me he died, for me he lived, and everlasting life and light he freely gives.
May be seated. We practice here close communion, not close. If you're a believer in Christ and been baptized in obedience to his command, we invite you to join with us. We don't police this. We leave it up to the individual to partake as he or she sees fit in his or her conscience before the Lord. Paul, in writing, as I mentioned here in 1 Corinthians 11, instructions for the church to follow, and these are instructions for us, and we follow that as well. So we're going to pray for the bread at this time. We'll distribute that and partake. Pray for the fruit of the vine, distribute that, and then partake of that as well. So let's bow for prayer together. Heavenly Father, thank you again for all that you've accomplished for us in the giving of your Son. We read those wonderful words that he spoke there in John chapter 6. He said, I am the bread of life, our source of eternal life, spiritual life is found in Christ and in him alone. And so as we partake of the bread which speaks of his body, I pray that we would do it remembering what he went through. We would not and will never fully understand all that he suffered in his body. The beatings, the scourgings, and all of the rest. Yes, even the nail prints in his hand and feet, the sword in his side, the crown of thorns pushed upon his head, causing blood to flow. Bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We find that spiritual healing in Christ. And we thank you for his sacrifice in our behalf. And so as we partake, bless these moments of remembrance. I pray this in Jesus' name. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Heavenly Father, thank you for the shed blood of your Son. We read that there, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness, no remission of sins. But we've been redeemed by that precious blood, and we praise you for it as we partake now of the fruit of the vine, which pictures the shed blood of your Son. May we do it in remembrance of him. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, he just show forth the Lord's death till he comes. We're going to stand together and sing, Blessed Be the Tithe That Binds.